We're studying one of the main things that happened is on Pentecost is Korah's rebellion, and we started to look at it yesterday. But the reason that Korah's rebellion is so critical is that the challenge of Moses to the 250 that followed Korah was that they should go ahead and take the censers in their hand, the altar of incense, and come before the tabernacle of the Lord on the next morning and then see what's going on, see who's assigned. Aaron was assigned as the high priest, and he was assigned by Moses in Korah's and all these people's mind. And so here we have the perfect picture of what we do. If you understand that the altar of incense is your thoughts, then you can understand why it's so critical to cast down imaginations in every high place that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Because everyone wants to have the censer in his own hand. It's the same thing that we saw when we studied Ezekiel 8 about digging into the wall and finding out what they do and what the house of Israel does in the temple. Every man is censer in his own hand. And the predicate of all this is Isaiah 9, or 10, 9. Let's go there. I just thought of that.
Did you say Isaiah 9?
I think so. Yeah, verse 6. For unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. Now, on whose shoulder is the government in your life? Is it on Christ, or is it still on your shoulders? There's got to be some reason why Christ made such an incredible effort of taking no thought for your life, taking no thought for tomorrow. And this is the thing that's central and the thing that makes everyone so upset at me is the idea that abandonment of self and taking no thought is the predicate of Christianity. Well, here we have a living picture that happened on the Feast of Pentecost, that 250 of the renowned men of Israel wanted to take the censer in their own hand. In other words, they wanted their own thoughts. You got it? Now, if you don't believe that the censer represents your thoughts and that you constantly pray, your prayers are your thoughts, you never stop praying. And so being there, because you don't go to war with the censer or your mind, then you wonder why there's no peace.
That's interesting that you take the censer in your hand, which is you use this in your strength to accomplish your...
Right. You understand the first thing that Jesus said was deny yourself, apodiomite, abandon yourself, take no thought for yourself. So the fullness of the meaning of Pentecost is the government of your life is no longer on your shoulders. And this is a hard saying. Who can hear it? Only those that have found out that their minds are the enemy, the Antichrist, the instead of Christ. And if you don't know that, then you're going to continue on with the censer in your own hand. And you may do it in the name of prayer. You may do it in the name of, well, I'm just studying God's Word. Or you may do it, I'm just trying to understand, but the fundamental bottom line is that you're taking the censer in your own hand. Now the reason that Korah was so upset was that he was the oldest son, and he should have been, in his mind, he should have been appointed the head of this order of the priests. And instead, he appointed the youngest, whatever his name is, Uziel or Uziel.
It's like a social norm had been breached, and it was like that was...
Yeah, Uziel was the youngest of the four sons. Korah said to himself, "Shall the youngest of my father's brothers be superior to me?" Now, isn't that what you're saying? If you accept any part of the teaching, it's Christ in you, the hope of glory, the youngest son, shall he be superior to you? And every time you decide that you're going to take something and be responsible for something in your own mind, in your own head, that you're going to take it, you're going to follow it, then you are participating in Korah's rebellion. Every time you get upset, every time you get worried, every time you get anxious, every time you make judgments, you are participating in Korah's rebellion. Can you understand that as the predicate of what we're talking about? Is there anybody that doesn't? Anybody have any latent questions or latent arguments or anything?
Just think about all the different times where it has the younger, the younger serves the elder. It's like it's all the way through the Bible. It's the same picture.
Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated.
Yeah, elder serves the younger, right?
Yeah, that's what you mean.
All right, now let's go and read about Korah's rebellion and see if you can see yourself. What?
I have a hard time with Korah. I always think of a woman.
Yeah.
When you say Korah, I have to twist my mind back to it. It's a man.
Okay, let's go to...
Just in case anybody didn't know.
Yeah. All right. Anybody we know?
Nope.
Okay, number 16. Are you there? What's that about?
Probably put the flyers in.
Now Korah, the son of Izhar, the son of Kohath.
Where are we at?
Number 16.
The son of Levi, and Dathan and Abiram, the son of Eliab, and On, the son of Peleth, sons of Reuben, took men. So it wasn't just the Levites. It wasn't just the sons of it was people from all the tribes. So you can't, it was a big deal. And they rose up before Moses with certain of the children of Israel, 250 princes of the assembly, famous in the congregation, men of renown. And they gathered themselves together against Moses and against Aaron and said unto them, "You take too much upon you, seeing all the congregation are holy, every one of them, and the Lord is among them. Wherefore lift up you, wherefore then lift you up yourselves above the congregation of the Lord." Now remember, Moses is a type of the law. And Aaron is a type of Christ, the high priest. Christ is our high priest. You're not your high priest. Can you get that? And when Moses heard it, he fell on his face. Now, the Talmud says that they came against him at night. And because Moses thought they might be drunk, and he couldn't believe what they were saying. He couldn't believe that these men of renown that had seen the hand of God were now coming to this place. And so he spake unto Korah and unto all his company, saying, "Even tomorrow the Lord will show who are his and who is holy, and will cause him to come near unto him, even him whom he hath chosen will he cause to come near unto him. Now, again, you've got to see, either this is a type or it's meaningless to us. And the type isn't that you're going to follow some other man. That's worse than anything. That's following another of Korah's rebellion. That's why I've told you from the day one that the purpose of God's stuff isn't for some man to tell you what to do. It's for him to show you the futility of your efforts. So that you can come to the place and not be a partaker of Korah's rebellion. You got it? You understand maybe with that Korah's rebellion is the thoughts? Listen carefully.
You know what you just said about it's not to follow some man who tells you what to do. That is being one of the followers of Korah.
Yeah, I always would be.
Now this was the fourth time that Korah and the band had rebelled. The first time was when Israel sinned in connection with the golden calf, and Moses besought the Lord for them. When the people murmured in Numbers 11, Moses prayed for them. When the spies rebelled, Moses said, "When the Egyptians shall hear." So now we're at a point. Remember, the New Testament says after the third admonition, reject. And this is where they get rejected. Now, if you can hear this, maybe you will understand why the fear of God is the primary focus of understanding Pentecost. When the dissension of Korah broke out, Moses said, "How many times can I trouble the omnipresent?" Consequently, when Moses heard it, he fell upon his face. Verse 4, and Moses heard it, he fell upon his face.
Is that because he knew this was like they'd gone too far?
They'd gone over the line. He spoke unto Korah in the morning. Why? Because Moses thought perhaps they had been eating and drinking too much. Maybe by morning they will come to their senses and repent. Now, then he tries to reason. Now listen carefully. And he said, the first thing he said to them, though, is still at night, he said, "This do, take you censers, Korah, and all his company, and put fire therein, and put incense in them before the Lord tomorrow. And it shall be that the man whom the Lord doth choose, he shall be holy. You take too much upon you, you sons of Levi." And Moses said unto Korah, "Hear, I pray you, you sons of Levi. Seemeth it but a small thing unto you that the God of Israel has separated you from the congregation of Israel to bring you to near to himself, to do the service of the tabernacle, and to stand before the congregation to minister unto them? And he hath brought thee near to him, and all thy brethren, the sons of Levi, with thee, and you seek the priesthood also? For which cause both you and all thy company are gathered together against the Lord. And what is Aaron that you murmur against him?" And Moses sent to call Dathan and Abiram, the sons of Eliab, which said, "We will not come up." In other words, they didn't want to. They wanted to be a portion of the...